Thank you. I think Bruce, maybe Director Kaiser. So thanks for the explanations and for all the information you provided us over the last few months. So I had a question about this provision, if the other bargaining units also agree. So obviously you've included timing for when the deductions would start from fire in this particular agreement. And I see that. So let me give you the hypothetical. So municipal comes or fire comes and they say, yes, we will agree to the 2%, but we want it in the third year of our contract also, you know, just like the fire bargaining unit has. I can't see in the language here anywhere that would prevent the city starting to take the deductions in 2025 as is spelled out here, but is that the correct interpretation? So even if one of the other bargaining units agreed to the provision, but with a date offset, we would still be collecting on day one?
That's my understanding, but I'm gonna let the legal person answer that question.
The mayor would not come to the city council with that type of provision. It would all have to begin at the same time. That is what we will be bargaining for when we get to those next contracts. That's the mayor's intent. The mayor's intent would be that the OPEB contributions would all begin at the same time for every union, so it is fair to all the employees. They would all begin having those deductions made from their paychecks at the same time across the board. That's the right thing to do and the fair thing to do, and that's what we would be negotiating.
No, Mr. Sill, I agree with the intent. I think my question is from a legal contractual perspective, if that intent were not met and there was some delay in the others, yet they agreed to it, would we still be on solid footing?
I think we would not for this reason, Councilman. We entered into good faith negotiations, and those good faith negotiations, the expectation was and is, if you ratify this contract this evening, that all employees would begin making their OPEB contributions at the same time. That was the understanding across the table. So my opinion would be we'd probably be in arbitration over that if that were to happen.
Okay. Thank you. Second question, if the other units agreed and we didn't have this delay and everyone agreed, can you just walk me through what are the actual mechanics of starting to take out the deductions? Is there any other approvals that needs to happen, or would it just on January 1st, 2025, it would just happen?
That's the answer.
Okay. Thank you. I just have one question for the union president. If he's still here. Good evening.
Hi. Good evening, Councilman.
Thank you for coming. Thanks for your explanation at the beginning. Very helpful.
Appreciate it.
And all the information you provided. I just had one follow-up question to Councilman Ricks's question, because I was not satisfied with your answer.
Okay.
So I think Councilman Ricks's question was, to your knowledge, do you have knowledge that anyone of the other bargaining units intends to not allow that provision?
Unfortunately,
do you have knowledge? I'm not asking you to speak about anyone else, just your knowledge.
Unfortunately, Mr. Councilman, I do not have knowledge on other collective bargaining units and what their proposals are going to be in the negotiating process.
So that's a no, you do not have knowledge.
I do not have any knowledge of any other collective bargaining units proposing their proposals or their negotiations. I only have what local 2748 proposals and negotiations are.
Thank you.
All right.
Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman Foley.
Thank you. To the administration, hearing January 1st, 2025, we've gotten the municipal, we've gotten the police to agree. Your dollar amount for the fire was $182,000 for that first half year. Am I correct?
Correct.
All right. Do you anticipate the same dollar amount for the police and the municipal? I would think municipal be lower because the salaries tend to be lower.
Yes, yes.
Do you have an estimate January 1st, 2025 of what the OPEC contribution would be from those three unions?
Excuse me. We need to stay in just this contract. We can't talk about what other contracts that may come before us.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Any other additional questions, Councilman Foley? No. Any other questions or comments from members of the council who haven't had a chance to speak yet? Okay. I'm going to open up for public comment at this time. We'll come back and members of the council have another opportunity to speak. So at this time, we're going to open up for public comment. Again, we're going to do it in three parts here. The Sergeant of Arms is there. He'll turn the microphone on for you. Just please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. President, I have an additional question for Finance Director.
Sorry, Councilman, you're not recognized.
So we're not going to have
you're not recognized question. At this time, Councilman.
Wonderful.
At this time, we're going to take public comment. I'm going to ask if there are members of public that are here to speak in favor of ratification of this contract. They will line up and speak on that subject. Then I will ask if there are members of the public that would like to speak against ratification. They will line up and speak on that subject. And then we will provide an opportunity for anyone who would like to be heard this evening on the ratification of this contract. After public comments, we will come back to the full council, and members of the council will be able to ask any final questions and make any final statements they would like. So at this time, are there any members of the public that would like to be heard in favor of ratification of this contract at this time? Just please line up at the or come up to the podium. You don't have to line up, but come up to the podium and introduce yourself, and please speak directly into the microphone, and please give your name for the record, sir.
Good evening, Council. Larry Storrs, 86 Tarawa Drive. I'm asking you to ratify this contract for the firefighters. They deserve it. They're hardworking, always professional. The cost of living raises are going up. These guys are working 24-hour shifts. It's not getting any easier. I mean, I understand what it's coming for a cost to the city, but I heard somebody say $22 a year to a resident. I spend that Dunkin' Donuts every other day. You know, we need these guys. I mean, that's the reason why I moved to the city, is for our public services. I mean, I'm asking if you guys just please consider it. We really need them. They're always there when we need them. The fire department, the police department. I don't want you to think I have any interest. I don't know any of these men or women. I don't know anybody here. I know my councilman, but I mean, they deserve it. I mean, it might not be everything they wanted, but it's somewhere to start. And then can I address the solicitor a sec? Please, it'll take 2 seconds. It's not.
Will you just address me and then.
All right. Is there any way we can look into protecting our firefighters more? I mean, we have people following them around, harassing them.
Sir, we can only speak on the fire contract this time, ratification.
All right. Thank you, Council.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak in favor of ratification at this time? Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak in favor of ratification at this time? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak in ratification in favor at this time? Okay. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak against ratification? Is there any members of the public that would like to speak against ratification at this time? Go ahead, sir, and please just identify yourself for the record.
Sure. I was going to speak just in general about it since nobody else got up. Patrick Maloney, 11 Dawson Avenue. How long do I have? 10 full minutes?
Up to 10 minutes, yes, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. First of all, Pat, did you get my name? Yeah, okay. First of all, I want to thank the firefighters. You went to my house twice during the time that my wife was sick. My wife had dementia, and you came and you took care of her and you took care of our family, and I do appreciate that. I am not here to disparage any of the work that you do. I know that you work hard, and you're going to see in my comments that I talk about things both for and against this particular contract. At the end of the day, it's the people that are sitting over here that have to make their decision, and I'm just giving my opinion. But I think that you do work hard, and I do not want to take anything away from that. I want to say that I've lived in Warwick for 22 years. My wife lived here almost her entire life, except for when I was in the military, for about 3 years. We were away. So in addition to helping my wife, I have 3 children. And regarding the contract and increases that may happen to the taxpayers, you know, not taking into consideration any concessions, I've told my kids, my oldest is 24, my next one's 21, and my next one's 18. Every year I tell them to leave Warwick, and every year I tell them to leave Rhode Island. And I think it's a real shame that we educate these children and then we tell them to leave, because they're our greatest resource. So I just see things going in one direction. So over the... So I looked at the, I heard the numbers that the city presented. I don't know the exact number, so I'm going to say approximately there's a 9 to 10% increase over 3 years. You know, 8 to 10%, I don't know the exact number. But I'm also a small business owner in Warwick, in addition to living here. And I will tell you that in 2008, we went into recession. It took us years to get out of the recession. We finally got out of the recession, and then we had 2 years of COVID, which decimated businesses here in Warwick. And now we're talking about going back into a recession, and as the administration said, we're having historic inflation. So with the $350 million that went into a vote for schools, I think that we need to be very, very careful about additional increases for any contract, not just the firefighters. I know that you can't speak to any other unions having an increase in contract, but as a taxpayer, I can. And I know that you have these other contracts coming up. I was on the school committee in Warwick. I will tell you that I negotiated a contract or two with the teachers union, and it was extremely difficult. And there were times that we did talk about having to go to arbitration. And you know, typically you don't want to do that, but it is not a bad thing to have an outside person come in and say to both sides, both the city side and the fire side, city, this is what's fair to you. Firefighters, this is what's fair to you. And it takes a very courageous person to say, okay, we weren't able to get it done. You know, let's go to arbitration. Okay, it's very hard on both sides because the union is fighting to make sure that the firefighters gets what's fair to them. And every single one of them believes that, you know, they work hard and they do. And as any individual who works hard deserves a raise. That goes without saying. But the way that the city is right now, prior to this contract, we had 2 years of COVID. The state got a ton of money for COVID. Governor McKee gave a bonus to state employees who got, I think it was because they got the COVID shot. He gave that to them. So I want to say, if we are going to ratify this contract and give the firefighters these, the compensation in the contract, that we need to find other funding sources besides on the backs of the taxpayers. There's federal money out there, there's state money out there. These people deserve to get paid. What are you city council people and our mayor doing to not put every single increase on the taxpayers' back? Because I'm going to tell you, with the increases for taxes, water, sewer, electric, and other things outside of these contracts, people are going to lose their houses. Plain and simple. When I talk about having courage, I fought to get a fair contract for the schools and for the taxpayers, and I did not get reelected in 2012. I did not get reelected in 2014. I did not get reelected in 2016. I did not get reelected in 2018. I did not get reelected in 2020 or in 22. So I know the reason you guys want to ratify the contract, as Mr. Cushman and Mr. Corwin that sat in this seat before you, who did not vote for a firefighter contract, he's not sitting in that seat right now. So you have to have the courage to do the right thing for the taxpayers and for the firefighters. It shouldn't be one group of people that dictates how you vote. If we are going to give our firefighters additional salary, then we should be looking for grants for equipment that they need. We should be looking for grants for repairs to the buildings that they need. That's a simple solution. And I'll tell you, I was on the school committee. We found grants for things. I'm not saying that they don't deserve it, but I'm saying use your imagination and make things happen so that it's not just on the taxpayers' back. It's appropriate to do that. This family, regarding families leaving, there was a comment before the last election by Mayor Picozzi, and I'm paraphrasing here, that some people would lose their homes. He said, quote, "We have to make sure the cost of the bond," and that's regarding the school bond, "doesn't force residents out of the city," Picozzi said Tuesday when asked about the remark. I say we need to make sure every contract doesn't force residents out of the city too. Because when people leave here, they stop paying taxes. And when people leave here because they tell people they can't afford to live here, it's not going to make the people who move in confident to come here. Now I'll just add this. Well, I've got a couple of things. The life expectancy for firefighters is 10 years less than the average person. So I believe that they should be compensated while they're here with us. They give their lives to this profession. They give their lives to the people of Warwick. It is appreciated. And so that's one reason why they want to fight so hard to get for what they need for themselves and for the protection of their family. I don't blame them for coming in here and asking for a raise. Firefighters have a 9% chance of being diagnosed with cancer and 14% greater chance of dying from cancer. So this is another reason why they're saying, well, you know, they don't think about their retirement. They're thinking about right now because they might not have one. I do want to talk about the first year, the 2% increase. That 2% increase, that raise equals $411,000.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Maloney.
Thank you. I'm finishing up. That 2% increase equals $411,000. This will allow the firefighters to pay back the memorandum overpayment that was in September of 21. There was an overpayment of $385,000. I don't know if during discussions the council said, we overpaid you $385,000. We're going to give you a $411,000 raise. You guys are taking over the court. Would they say, hey, because you gave us this $411,000 raise, we're going to forego taking you to court, which will save the Warwick City lawyers' fees, court fees, and everything else. So I don't know if you worked that out, but if you don't ratify this and it goes before a someone to arbitrate, thank you, then maybe that's something you can work out. But there should be fair things for the firefighters. There should be fair things for the taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Just please identify yourself for the record.
Take my glasses off so I can see.
I'm Barry Cook, president of the Warwick Taxpayers Association and a resident of Warwick for the last nearly 20 years. I represent taxpayers who are very concerned about the spending taking place in the city. The ratification process, as I understand it, was enacted by when Joe Solomon was the councilman, because it was felt at that time the taxpayers didn't have a lot to say about the ratification of contracts. So tonight, there will be people following after me who wish to voice their concerns and problems that they see with the contract. So in that regard, I wish to inform you that members of our association and taxpayers have many questions in areas of the contract. Some of those areas and concerns are, and they center around three areas of the contract: the negotiations that took place, the costs associated with the contract, and various parts of the language in the contract. First, costs. The 10%+ raise is over 3 years. That's a lot of money over 3 years. I understand everybody has to get a raise. I'm retired. I'm on Social Security. I'm still working. And the reason that I'm still working is I need additional income to help my grandchildren. So I'm still working. Every time there's an increase in the tax rate, the water bill, the gas bill, it means I have to keep working. At 75, I don't know how much longer I can keep working, but I'm forced to keep working because of these obligations that are on my shoulders as a taxpayer. Now, I'm not a nervous guy anymore. I used to be. I'm not anymore. There are some questions following with the conversation of costs. It's my understanding that the fiscal note, which has been discussed already back and forth, as I understand it, the fiscal note is not a complete financial picture of the cost of the contracts. So I'm sure someone in the audience following me will ask about that. We had an article in the Beacon and referred to the RIPEC report. In the RIPEC report, it said that the most recent understanding of the contract and cost of the city, the average pay for a Warwick firefighter is $95,000+. It's the highest in the state. It's 24% greater than the median compensation of $73,000 roughly, and nearly 30% higher than the cost for Providence firefighters. I don't expect an answer, but someone's going to ask that question. Why is that the case? Per capita cost of $641 to provide Warwick fire services versus the median per capita cost of $421. Warwick is nearly 50% higher than the medium state average. Again, I'm not asking the question, but someone's going to ask you why. Uncontrollable overtime. We could go on and on about that, but I'm not going to. 36.5% of our entire city side of the budget. I'm told by looking at the numbers and listening to other people that 36.5% is somewhere nearing $54 million dedicated to the fire department. The state medium for fire department
is 25%. We're at 36.5%. That's 46% higher than the median for the state. Again, why? Warwick Fire Department pension costs are $261 per capita. Cranston's costs are $164 per capita. Why are we so much higher? I don't know. Someone should know. I just want to point out that each of the council people have a fiduciary responsibility to we the taxpayers. So in that regard, I want to just put on the record a question. I don't expect to get an answer tonight. Someone following me may get the answer. If the council people, one in each of you, every one of you, if you have not looked at the RIPAC report, please take the time to look at it. It's very important that you understand it. And the numbers in the RIPAC report came from the administration. I guess now there's some discussion from our finance director that perhaps he didn't answer the question here properly. Maybe he didn't understand the questions that were being asked. Maybe it wasn't complete when he submitted it. But nevertheless, you need to look at the RIPAC report, understand it. You're going to expect questions on banking of sick time and questions regarding a COLA. What are the financial impacts on the taxpayer for those? Moving ahead to contract language. You will probably be asked about the negotiating team. Again, I have to apologize. It's hard of hearing. So I know that the gentleman came up, Mr. Kaiser, and spoke about who the negotiating committee was. I heard a lot of names rattled off. Only ones that I were familiar with, Mr. Kaiser, the mayor's chief of staff, who used to be the personnel director in Cranston, the gentleman who identified himself as a lawyer, I didn't get his name. But I'm just curious, what qualifies the mayor's chief of staff to be on the negotiating committee? I heard them say that these people are well qualified. Mr. Kaiser is in the economic development department. I don't know what his financial background is, but why was he on the committee? Questions. How many of the meetings were held? During those meetings, how many of those meetings was Mr. Schaefer there? And how many of those meetings was the mayor there? Did they attend all the meetings, only some of the meetings, or none of the meetings? I didn't hear them mention that the mayor was there. And I don't think I heard them say that Schaefer was there. I don't know. Just a question. We all know that negotiations are a matter of give and take. We have a good idea what the firefighters will get out of the contract, but we don't know, I'm not clear on it, perhaps other people are. I would like to know, when we give this contract, ratify the contract, what do the taxpayers get out of it? I heard Mr. Lattisaw, I heard Mr. Maloney, and others will speak about the 2% OPEB. I'm more confused now than before I got here. I don't know what that benefits us in any shape, form, or fashion. Just a question. How do we benefit by that? And what did the city get by ratifying this contract? You can be expected to be asked both individually and collectively as a council, are you well versed in the contract's contents and language? Do you know if the previously erroneous, illegally insufficient language concerning OPEB, has it been corrected? Do you know it was corrected? Do you know if it's constructed properly? And do you know if it's in compliance with the appropriate laws? I don't. I hope each of you do. Since the Beacon published an article about the RIPAC report and subsequent comments from the city regarding Mr. Schaefer, who wrote a letter to our mayor, have any of you requested that you need to go back before you vote on this to make sure you understand precisely about the language, precisely about the cost? Or have you already made your minds up, you're going to ratify this like the last time when it was pushed through over the course of two meetings? I think one of them was around Christmas time. Now, the council's only role in this tentative contract or any contract is to ratify or not ratify. You have no role in negotiating it. You only are asked to vote on it after you've given it consideration and feel comfortable that you know the contract. So, you folks, the council, had a non-public closed-door meeting with a negotiating committee to review the tentative contract. And you had an opportunity to ask questions about the tentative contract. Well, since you have no role in negotiating the contract, since you play no role in amending the contract, since you have no power to amend the contract, I want to know why this conversation wasn't held in front of the public. You have no role in the contract negotiation.
1 minute, Mr. Cook.
So you should have had this public, this meeting in the public. Now, I heard some discussion about it. Maybe this question's already been answered. But has the council advised, or the administration, advised the firefighters union that as it stands presently, the contributions that they make, 2% of their pay into OPEB, cannot be withdrawn? It can only be withdrawn at the time of retirement. I know that was a problem the last time it came around, and we've discussed that. I guess in closing, I want to say this. I don't think you folks are adequately prepared, based on what I've seen and heard, I don't think you folks are adequately prepared to vote one way or the other on this contract. I'm not confident that you've been given the proper information by the city, too many questions about the fiscal note not being accurate, too many questions about the language. So from my perspective, I hope that you postpone this decision until a later date. Thank you.
Time, Mr. Cook.
Thank you. Next speaker, just please identify yourself and speak right into the microphone. Thank you.
Robert Cushman. I want to see if I could ask as many questions as possible, and when I ask a question, I'm going to stop my time. Is that how the council rules work?
Good question, sir.
So when I ask a question and someone takes 5 minutes, is that against my time?
Just ask your question, sir. This is your opportunity to ask your questions.
All right. 3 years ago, we went to the contract ratifications, and the OPEB portions of the contract was heralded as a big selling point. And it turns out, you know, you were warned that we had major problems with the language. So I want to go over. I have some questions concerning the OPEB language. So the first question is, what language in the contract specifies how OPEB funds will be invested? I'm going to stop my clock.
Someone from the administration?
There's no specific language about the administration of the OPEB as far as investment of funds. It's our intent to join the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust that manages our health care fund and our property and liability. They have an established OPEB trust with a number of other communities that have been in existence for 15 years or so, I'd say. And they have a pooled trust with a very sophisticated investment management team. That's where it would be deposited.
Can someone read the last line on page 51 of the red line, blue line contract, please?
Do you have the contract in front of you, Mr.
Yes, I do.
Kaiser?
Mr. President, what page was that again? I didn't hear it.
What page, Mr. Cushman?
51.
Going forward, I'm going to ask you to read the parts that you would like questions on.
Are you going to hold that against me?
Just read the question, sir.
It says, money in the OPEB trust will be invested and managed by the city in the same manner as money in the pension plan for firefighters.
Here.
What does that mean?
All I can tell you is that the council adopted a resolution.
Mr. Schaefer, can you just put that mic to you?
Peter Schaefer, finance director. The council on January 24th adopted a resolution consistent with the language. The way we found out about this is no trustee would take our account because of the way the language in the contract read, which allowed an employee, if they left before retirement, to get their money back. an OPEB trust has to be irrevocable under the Internal Revenue Service code language. That's why we couldn't execute the contract. So then we went ahead and appropriated money, as you know, to the OPEB trust out of general appropriations, and the council on January 24th, resolution PCR 5721, selected the Rhode Island Local Trust, which does this for 20 municipalities throughout the state, to administer the OPEB trust, consistent with the language.
Who manages the pension funds for the firefighters?
We have an investment manager that comes to the retirement board in meetings once every 3 months, manages, gives investment advice to the treasurer, the finance director, and the retirement board. That was another opportunity to have a fifth fund into local trust, but the overhead was very high. So I made a recommendation with the mayor's approval to the council, and they adopted using the interlocal trust for managing the OPEB assets.
Was anybody in this council chambers tonight at the December 21st retirement board meeting?
I'm not sure whether Representative Howe was, Councilman Howe was there December 21st. I believe you were. I don't.
We can, next question, please. That's not in this contract.
At that meeting, you had a discussion on the quarterly performance of the pension system, and there was recommendations next month or next quarter that the investments were going to change, correct?
Not significantly, no. I don't think that's correct.
I got the report right here, and I don't have enough time to read it. But so my question is this. You just said the interlocal trust is handling the investments for the OPEB fund, correct?
Yes.
And the Municipal Retirement Board recommends the investments for the pension fund, correct?
With the guidance of the investment.
So your language in the contract, can I read that line on page 51 again, please?
Just leave the line that you would like to speak about, Mr. Cushman.
I'm trying to save as much time as possible. What it basically says is that the OPEB funds will be invested in the same manner as the firefighter funds. I just proved to you tonight that that language is wrong and that's not true. Do you agree with me?
Mr. Shaver?
It's a yes or no question. Is the investment funds of the OPEB plan being guided by the interlocal trust, and the retirement board has no say in how those funds are invested?
Excuse me. Mr. Schaefer, you got to speak directly into the microphone. Go ahead, Mr. Schaefer.
All I can say is we discussed this on January 24th at the council meeting. The council approved on that my and the mayor's recommendation to use the interlocal trust for management of the OPEB trust funds, which they have done, conservatively invested. The investments of the pension fund are much more in equities than you would ever do with the small amount of money that we have in the OPEB trust. And the council adopted that resolution, and they are managing those funds.
Thank you.
I agree with that. So my question is to you, Mr. McAllister. Does the retirement board have any say on the investment funds for the OPEB fund?
Mr. Shaver?
That's to you. Councilman, you're going to ratify this contract.
Mr. Shaver. Excuse me. I told you how the rules are here. You will ask the questions. We will have the administration respond to any questions that you have. Mr. Shaver.
Can't hear him.
Hold on 1 second. Can we get Mr. Schaefer a new microphone?
He doesn't know the answer.
Excuse me. We will not have people speaking out of turn. One person at the time.
Thank you. Mr. President?
No.
Mr. President?
Go ahead, Mr. Schaefer.
I have a question.
No, you're not recognized at this time, Councilman.
Wonderful.
Go ahead. We asked the question one more time.
The answer is no.
The answer is no. Okay, thank you.
So I just admitted right now that basically the language in the contract is incorrect. Okay, let me move on. Does anybody anybody in this hall know what investment instrument is used by the interlocal trust for the OPEB trust fund?
Mr. Schaefer.
The trust gives us three different options, and the treasurer made a decision to, I believe, and she's not here today, but I believe the most conservative investment until we got a more material sum of money. So it's short-term, 1 to 2 year investment grade securities, mostly treasuries.
The fund that is used by the Interlocal Trust for City of Warwick OPEB Trust Fund is called the Vanguard Balance Strategy. Does the Municipal Retirement Board have any investments in the Vanguard Balance Strategy?
Mr. Schaefer, do you have that information at this time?
No.
So there you go. There's the first problem you're going to have, that the firefighters could successfully grieve, because you have language in this contract that says investments should be the same as the pension fund. They're not. And you're going to get into a predicament like you had in 2012, where you had language that the firefighters did not agree to in the contract, and it cost taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars.
A point of clarification, can we ask for an opinion from the solicitor, a lawyer, as to what that sentence means, rather than having someone who is not a lawyer give an opinion on it?
Thank you, thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Cushman. The councilman is correct. We will listen to legal advice from attorneys. Thank you.
Where in the contract does it have any language concerning a non-vested firefighter leaving the city?
The old language in the contract authorized someone who left before retirement age to get the money back. That was the problem, that we couldn't create a trust because of that provision.
So where in the contract, so there's no longer a provision if a firefighter decides to leave before he's vested, he can't get his money back,
no.
Right?
That's true.
That's true.
Okay. Oh yeah. All right. I want to move on now with the pension funds. Let me just see. What effect is this contract going to have on the Fire One pension plan?
Fire One?
Fire One.
Mr. Schaefer?
The actuary looks at compensation cost increases over a period of years. And I know of no change that he's expecting to make. He's looking at wage increases over a period of years, not one particular contract. So I would say none.
I don't have the specifically. The contract has language in it. Why is this doing this? Is this?
We're working on it. You can continue.
Okay. The contract for Fire One pension plan specifically said COVID rules are established in Chapter 20-116 of the Warwick Code of Ordinances. Right? Does anybody know what that ordinance says?
Any from the administration?
But I assume it's referring to they have an option based upon when they retired, either 3% or an association, two wages. There's not too many left that have that, but they certainly still exist.
What it says is that whenever changes occur in salaries, holidays, or longevity pay for active employees, corresponding changes shall be made to the salary, holiday, or longevity component of benefits payable to retired members and beneficiaries. Well, what does that mean?
That means exactly what you think it means. They will get an increase. Those employees that were retired under that provision will get an increase. But the actuary is not going to make a change based upon one contract. He's going to make a change on his history of wage increases over a long period of time.
And how much contributions go into Fire One by fire, active firefighters?
I'm going to take up your time by taking a little while to find this. Fire One, the current year, it's $18.1 million, and then Police One, $2.5 million.
Yeah, but what I mean is, do we have any active firefighters contributing to Fire One?
Oh, only one or two.
Yeah, so basically 100% of the cost is basically taxpayers, right?
Yes, but there's $80 million in the fund.
Yeah, I understand that, but if you're going to give out COLA increases of 10%, there's a cost to that, right?
Correct. And as I said, the actuary is looking at wage increases over a period of years and computing what the contributions
are. So why isn't any of that cost put into the fiscal note?
Well, there is a cost in the fiscal note in terms of the contributions for people who are in Fire 2. That's in the fiscal note.
But there's going to be a future cost to taxpayers because we're funding 100% of Fire One as a result of putting those COLA payments in, right?
And I'm going to give you the same answer I've given you twice before. The actuary is going to look at compensation costs over a period of years.
So you mean to tell us...
1 minute, Mr. Cushman. 1 minute.
I've asked 4 minutes of questions.
You have 1 minute left, sir.
Unbelievable. All right, let me go to my closing comment. My closing comment regards transparency in the city council chambers. And we had a seated councilman who admonished a former council president for this. And I just want to put on the record right now, Mr. Carrero is the union president, right? And he negotiated this contract. Well, he also sits on the Ward 3 Democrat committee meeting for Councilman Howell. And the fact of the matter is that the purpose of a ward committee is to get somebody elected, to get Mr. Howe elected. Mr. Howe has never been transparent about Mr. Carrero being the union president who's negotiated this contract, and he's also helping to get him reelected onto the city council last year. At a minimum, you should recuse yourself from this vote.
Thank you, sir.
And you shouldn't even be taking part in any of these discussions. It's disgraceful.
Next speaker, please. Thank you.
Mr. McAllister, before I start, I just have a quick question on order so as not to be interrupted.
Please identify yourself for the record, sir.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. So the last time we did this at the last ratification, Mr. Lattisaw asked for a legal opinion from Council Solicitor Harrington as to if the residents could ask questions to specific council members. And the answer was, in accordance with the Open Meetings Act, residents have the right to ask questions to specific council members. Are we still going under the guidelines of the Open Meetings Act and we can ask questions to our council members?
Ask your questions,
okay,
sir.
Great.
This is your opportunity.
Thank you. So, Mr. McAllister, the first question that I have for you is, what schedule is the Walk Fire Department currently on? What work schedule are we on?
Administration?
Well, Mr. McAllister, I'm asking you that question.
And the administration is
here. Point of order, Mr. President.
Excuse me.
Mr. President, point of order.
Excuse me.
I would like to have an opinion from the legal counsel as to...
You're not recognized, Councilman Lattiser.
Excuse me?
You're not recognized, Councilman Lattiser.
I'm issuing a point of order.
You're not recognized at this time, Councilman Lattiser.
So you refuse to answer the question?
I will speak to the solicitor.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can ask your questions. I'm going to have the administration answer the questions, and you will get any questions you have answered.
Okay. Well, just so to put on the record, you're in violation of the Open Meetings Act because it was specifically stated. I actually have...
Do you have any questions on the ratification at this time?
And I have that audio here if you'd like me to play
it. Thank you. So, do you have any questions on the ratification of the contract?
Yeah, so the first question was to you, Mr. McAllister. Do you currently know what schedule the Warwick Fire Department's on?
Administration?
Let the record show that the councilman does not answer the question.
We are getting the answer for you at this time, sir. Chief, just identify yourself for the record, please.
Peter McMichael, Warwick Fire Chief. The question, I believe, was what schedule are we on? We work the 24-hour Boston schedule.
Thank you. So if you go to page 21 on the contract, it specifically states that the city may elect to opt out of the Boston schedule upon showing that the Boston schedule resulted in increased costs and no savings. The reason I asked this question was at the last council, at the last ratification process, Mr. McAllister and Mr. Howe touted how this contract would save $600,000. Myself and other people told you that it wasn't going to save any more money, but in fact, over the course of the contract, it would be caused to increase the taxpayers' contribution by about $4 million, which we were correct. Why haven't we opted out of the Boston schedule since it clearly shows an increase in the cost to the taxpayer?
Administration?
There are many factors that went into the cost of overtime, such as injuries, the pandemic, COVID-related outages that were not related to overtime that would be created had those events not occurred.
Okay, question for Mr. McAllister. Have you reviewed the official documents pertaining to sick time leading up to the ratification?
Administration?
Well, I'm asking if you reviewed them. Did you actually look at them? It's part of the contract. Did you look at them?
Mr. Cody, we are here to ask questions to the administration and the union who are presenting this.
Well, I'm going to ask you. Okay, that's fine. So let the record show that the council president was unable to answer that question. So I'll continue. So let me ask this question, Mr. McAllister. Do you know how many sick days we had in this past contract?
Administration?
Let the record show that the council member was unable to answer that question. Go ahead, administration.
Was the question how many sick days in total were taken?
Correct.
We don't have that information with us right now.
Okay, let the record show that the chief of the fire department does not know how many sick days there were. Let me ask Mr. Schaefer, do you know how many sick days there were in the fire department 2022?
Sick leaves is your question? Dollar value?
No. How many sick days?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Let the record show that the finance director did not know the answer to the question.
I know the dollar amount, but I don't know the sick days.
The resident knows the answer to the question. And the question was, how many sick days? There were 1,948 sick days that were taken by the fire department last year, with numerous members taking 20, 30, 40, and even in excess of 50 sick days. Given the amount of sick time, is it reasonable to ask the question, are these people actually healthy for the job? Someone can answer that.
I don't believe that is in the contract, sir.
You don't believe what's in the contract?
Your opinion, if they were healthy or not.
Actually, it is, because if you look in the back of the section, it says that the department will maintain a physical health system to ensure that all employees are healthy enough for the job. It's right in the contract, so it is relevant.
All right. Chief?
Peter McMichael, Warwick Fire Chief, could you restate the question, please?
My question is, with people taking in excess of 50 days sick time, is the department healthy?
Yes.
Okay, great. So let me give you some statistics. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics has data on sick time taken from all industries across the United States, including police and fire. I have all the sick time records of this department since 2014. What the data shows, up until 2018, 42% of the Warwick Fire Department took sick time, far in excess of the average across all industries, including police and fire. If you recall, in June of 2018, when we were here, and I proved that the unused sick time scheme was affecting overtime and monies that were paid out, Mayor Solomon stopped that practice in June of 2016, as the department was taking advantage of that mathematical formula. However, what the statistics show and the official city data shows, immediately after that was stopped in June of 2018, in July of 2018, sick time dramatically increased from 42% to 67.1%, far and above the average sick time. So the data also shows that, for the most part, the highest amount of sick days that were taken from the same people year after year. And you actually have people from 2018, 19, and 20, the beginning of 2020, that took over 100 sick days. So it's reasonable to assume, do we have a healthy department? So the reason why I question this scenario, seeing that we saw this manipulation in the past from 2013 to 18, which we're now in court over, the data suggests only one of two things. Since it's a math equation, right? You can simply see the math. The facts suggest that either we have a really unhealthy department or the system's being manipulated. It's only one of two things, all right? So we need to get a grip on that. My next question, are there any parameters on how often someone can be sick without being evaluated?
Chief?
Yes, if a member is out for more than two consecutive shifts, they can be evaluated by a physician.
Okay, Section 8 indicates that. So out of the 1,948 sick days, with most people up to 56 sick days, how many times, and I'm not asking for any HIPAA stuff, but how many times were departmental personnel asked to provide a doctor's recommendation before coming back to work?
Chief?
I don't have the data for how many times we required a note, but anytime a member was out for more than two consecutive shifts, we would require documentation.
So would you agree that you have hundreds of notes allowing people to come back after being sick for more than two consecutive days?
I do not have that data with me this evening.
Any estimate?
No.
Okay. So I want to ask a couple of questions about unused sick pay, and I'll ask you, Mr. McAllister, since the Open Meetings Act allows me to do that by law. Can you tell us how many unused sick days are in the bank right now for the Warwick Fire Department?
Chief?
Let the record show that the council president can't answer that question either.
Fire Chief Peter McMichael, I don't have that data available to me right now.
Okay. Let the record show that the fire chief doesn't have that data. Can I ask Mr. Schaefer that question? Mr. Schaefer, how many unused sick days does the Warwick Fire Department have in the bank?
Once again, I only have the dollar value. I don't have it in days.
You have the dollar value of how many unused sick days?
So it was in fiscal year 22. It was a little over 700,000 for unused sick time and a little over 500,000 for sick time.
So I'm not asking what it was for 2022. I'm asking you how many sick days, of unused sick days, that are accumulated in the bank total for the department. Do you have that data?
No, all I have is dollar values.
Okay. So, as you know, according to the contract, every year in February, that data is released. I would have thought that you would have been ready to answer those questions and have that data. So as of the February As of the February 2022 report, there was 22,510 days.
You have 1 minute, Mr. Cody.
In the bank.
1 minute.
Mr. Schaefer, can you tell us what the dollar value of that is? You really cut me short because I'm timing it here.
All I can do is repeat the figures for fiscal year 22.
Okay, so what the answer is you have a $12 million liability that's in the bank. And through this contract with this 10% cumulative raise, that has an impact of $1.2 million that the taxpayers will ultimately have to pay. Mr. Schaefer, did you include that into your fiscal note, that the impact on these raises, how it would impact the unused sick time that's in the bank? It's just a yes or no question.
There's we have a projection in each year how much the value of the sick time will be, both used and unused, in each year of the contract. That's in the fiscal note.
Right, but this is in the bank that ultimately the taxpayers have to pay. And this increase impacts that by $1.2 million. That figure is not included in the fiscal note. And because of that, your fiscal note is defective, and this council should ask for those numbers because it's a liability that we will eventually have to pay.
Time's up, Mr. Thank Cody. You.
And thank just Cody. Let me close by saying...
Thank you, Mr. Cody. Your time is up. The next speaker, please.
Unbelievable.
Cindy Wilson, Ward 5. So I'm asking if they're going to answer my questions, if they could not sit down every time so that we're not wasting the time of them getting up and down since you're not answering them. Could I ask that?
Please ask your questions.
Just how we stand here and we don't keep getting up and down, can they just stand there and answer my questions?
Ma'am, please ask your questions and we will get the answers for you.
Okay, sir. My first question, and I'm asking this because I don't understand it. There are three assistant chiefs. Can you tell me what the work schedule is for each one of them?
Chief?
Peter McMichael, Fire Chief. There are two assistant chiefs.
Two? Okay. And the work schedule?
Days, Monday through Friday.
Okay. You might as well stand up because I'm sure you're going to answer this one. Does the fire personnel punch a time clock?
No.
Okay. So how do you acquire the data that supports the hours that they're working? What is that? If it's not a punch, what is it? How do they just come in and say, hey, I'm here? Are they?
They report for duty and are documented in roll call and relieve the person so someone cannot go home until they're on duty.
Okay, so basically with roll call. Okay. Who's responsible for keeping those records of attendance? No, let him answer. Go ahead.
Those records are taken by the company officer.
I'm sorry, the what?
Those records are taken by the company officer.
Company officer, okay. So I'm curious. So you're increasing the clothing allowance to just $50 a year from $1,000 to
$1,050? That's right.
Okay. So if you could help me understand how that money's spent. So we pay for all damaged uniforms, and we allow money for maintenance of the uniforms. So who's tracking the money that we're giving them, and what is it spent on?
The money is provided to them per the contract.
Mm-hmm. And do have to show you a receipt? Here's my new pants, or they just... They just get the money.
It's provided to them per contract. That's right.
Okay. Is that money considered taxable income?
I don't know. I would assume so.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, we just need one person speaking, so the chief will answer. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.